I'll be away for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
So I thought before I leave, I'd like to share something with the whole church.
Very good. Amen.
Yes. I made a very quick outline late this morning, or early this morning, late last night.
Amen.
Very simple one. Short. I always like to do it short.
Yes.
Hopefully living.
Amen.
And to the point.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Very good.
May I have one, please? Thank you. Oh, you didn't have
one. Everybody has one.
There should be enough.
Oh, okay. There should be enough. Yeah.
Everyone should have
more than plenty.
Before we get into the Word,
yeah,
we have to realize that in the Bible, there are two aspects. Just like a coin has two sides. One is the inner side, the spiritual side, which is the living God indwelling in us today, which we all know as the life-giving Spirit, which is very important, perhaps the most important.
Amen.
But then there is also, if you flip the coin, you see, it's the same coin, okay? But it has two different sides.
Amen.
So if you look at one side of the coin, it shows what? It shows the image.
Right.
Image of who? Well, you can say the image of Christ, but an image of Caesar,
right,
because the coin is,
yes,
Caesar's coin.
Right. That's right.
So on one hand, it's the head,
right,
of Caesar.
Yes.
If you flip to the other side, then you see another image, the image of each city. Right? You have the image of California, or whatever the specialty in each state. Right? So there are two sides. So the first side is definitely Christ and his wonderful work, and as the Spirit today indwelling us to be our life. This is important. But the Bible has another side which is just as important. It is the practical side.
Amen.
To show us how to live, how to express Christ. Because if we have the inner life, then it is very important to also express it outwardly.
Amen.
You know, we the human beings are different from the angels. What is our difference?
We're flesh and blood.
We,
yes,
not only are, but we have,
yeah,
flesh and blood. Zum Glück, or fortunately, we also have a spirit.
Amen.
Right? We also have a spirit,
right,
not just flesh and blood. But apart from the spirit, we also have flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Why is it you cannot see the angels? Because they are only spirit. God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see God, because God is like a wind. You can feel the wind, but you can't see the wind. Have you ever seen the wind? No, you have never seen the wind, have you? But how do you know there is wind?
Because you can feel it.
You can feel it, and you can see the movement of the trees, and then so many expressions, so many manifestations that there is the wind, especially if it's very strong. Your roof might fly away.
Right.
Or even your car, if,
yeah,
it's tornado.
That's right.
And, you know, it's powerful. But you don't see the wind itself. That's why the Lord said, the wind blows where it wills. But you don't know where it comes from and where it will go. So is the Spirit of God, says the Lord. So we can see that there are these two aspects. Why is there a need of these two aspects? I don't think the angels need the second aspect. Maybe the angels only have one side of the coin.
Yeah.
Because they are spirit. Right. They have direct contact, direct communication.
Right.
But we have a soul.
Amen.
And a body.
Yes.
And so, for that, it is not adequate just for you to have the spirit, and that's it. If I only have a spirit, I don't have a soul and a body, I don't have a mind, I don't have an emotion, I don't have a body, then I can communicate directly with God, and there's no problem. But I'm not just spirit.
Yes.
Although I have to be a person walking according to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But to walk according to the Spirit, it's not just my spirit. It's my whole being is involved in walking by the Spirit. And so inwardly we have the Holy Spirit, but outwardly the Lord still needs to give us this book. You may ask, do you have the Spirit in you? Doesn't it say the Spirit will teach you all things? So, what do we need the Bible? Forget about the Bible. It's so heavy. We just come to the meeting in spirit. No need of the Bible. And why do you have to read the Bible every day? Just talk to the Lord. How about that? Not enough. Why? Why? Because you are a person with a mind. Your mind is involved, not just your spirit. And if your mind is darkened, and if Satan would darken your mind and your understanding, then you're in darkness.
Right.
Then the spirit can scream and shout, and you don't hear, you don't see anything. You're deaf. And you're blinded. That's why it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world has blinded the mind of those who do not believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can talk to people, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You talk to them about the Lord. I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't they know what you're talking about? Because their mind is blinded. And if the mind is blinded, your whole being is in darkness.
Right.
Your whole being is in darkness. So, now that we are born again and we have the Spirit of God within us, don't think that, oh, that's good enough. No, that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there is a transformation, the process. That's why there is a change going on.
Right.
The process of a change going on.
Right.
Just like a caterpillar within a cocoon.
Right.
There should be a change. The caterpillar will soon change into a beautiful butterfly.
Amen.
A wonderful, beautiful, colorful butterfly. But it takes time to change. So, we need to see the other side of the coin.
Amen.
And there has to be a balance.
Right.
A balance. So why do we need the Word? Because the Word tells you practically to make you understand, to make you see, to enlighten your mind.
Amen.
So that's why when the Lord told Paul to preach the gospel, He told Paul to open the eyes of the Gentiles. To open their eyes that they may see. They may be rescued out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen.
And to see the inheritance. And to even see God's purpose. Right. And so, there is a spiritual aspect. A very wonderful revelation of this wonderful Christ, which we also need to know. How? By the Word.
Yes.
How do you know that Christ is so rich?
Through the Word.
Through the Word.
Yes.
Did not the Spirit just tell you, hey, I'm so rich? Right? Did you know? It takes Paul to preach.
Yes.
the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because if you don't know how rich this Christ is, you think, hallelujah, I'm saved and just going to heaven, praise the Lord. Now I'm saved. So what happened to me? Nothing. I just live my own life and wait till I go to heaven. We'll see you there, huh? Till we meet again. God bless you till we meet again in heaven. And this is what everybody's singing in this. If I don't see you next time, I'll see you in heaven. Oh, goodness, I don't like to see you in heaven because that means for you that I die.
Yes.
You want to die? Neither do I, so we won't see each other in heaven. I don't want to see you in heaven, I want to see you here. Yeah. It's better, isn't it? We see each other here.
Yes.
So, with this terrible concept in the mind of the believers, they are missing so much because they are not enlightened to see. And now, the Word of God has a very practical aspect,
Amen.
Teaching us how to live. What kind of a life we should live on this earth today. Because in order for the Spirit to do the transforming work within us, we need to cooperate with the Spirit. If you don't cooperate with the Spirit, so the Spirit says no, you're doing something that the Spirit didn't want because you don't know, then you'll be grieving the Spirit all the time because the Word of God says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed.
Amen.
He cannot run away. He cannot tell you, forget it, I don't like your haircut. Goodbye, and just leave you. The Holy Spirit cannot say, hey, I don't like your haircut either. The one is too long, the other one is too short. It's too much hair, the other one has no hair. Forget it. Forget it, I'm gone. I'm going to leave you there. I'm sorry, I'm not against long hair. Forgive me. It's just a, I'm sorry, a very, an illustration. Your hair is okay. But if I have such a concept, let's say the Holy Spirit has such a concept. So, what are you going to do? The Holy Spirit can just leave you?
No.
He cannot. But he's grieved.
That's right.
If I always do the things contrary to him and he lives there, don't you think he'll be grieved?
Oh, Lord.
If I see my grandchildren or my children or my family not walking in the ways of the Lord, do you think I will be happy? I'll be grieved. Especially if I cannot say anything to them. I have to look at them every day. I cannot say anything. And what do you think? I would be a very happy grandfather? A very happy father? Do you think you would be a happy father like that? Definitely not. So, the Word of God says, grieve not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Of God who dwells in you, with whom you're sealed. Now, how do I know whether I'm grieving or I'm not grieving? Well, I have to come to the Word and read this Word and understand it properly to be enlightened in the eyes of my heart.
Amen.
To have heavenly spiritual understanding and wisdom to know what is that perfect acceptable will of God. Otherwise, I will be doing a lot of things that will be grieving my heavenly Father.
Oh, Lord.
Right. Yes. And this is very important for us too.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm trying to help. I'm doing my best to help.
Amen. Right. Yes.
so that all of our saints will grow.
That's right.
Whether we are married, we are not married, we are old, we are young. I'm not that young. I'm slightly over 70 now, my goodness. Look at my hair. But I'm still learning. I still want to change.
Amen.
I still want to see more. I want to arrive at a goal.
Right. Amen.
I don't want to stay the same. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be satisfied with what I've seen in the past 70 years. No. If the Lord gives me another 20 years, I hope that I can see much, much more than I've seen in the past 70 years of my life.
Amen.
Do you want to stop in high school? No. Isn't that good enough? Well, you're free. Have you graduated?
No.
No? What do you want to do? You go to college. Or do you want to stop in college? No. You want to get your master's. And if maybe, and if there's an opportunity, you will get your PhD. And if possible, you will get your postdoc.
Yes.
Maybe. Well, you know, the German says, you will never stop learning.
That's right.
Amen. Man lernt nie aus. That's why the Germans are always improving and improving and improving, because they have the philosophy, one will never stop learning. Mm-hmm. You already have a very nice Mercedes, but next year something more will come out. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you don't need a driver anymore.
Yeah.
It drives for you.
That's right.
And maybe 3 years later you can fly with it.
Yes.
And maybe another 10 years, you'll be transported or beam me up.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows how far people can go? If people can go that far, do you think the Lord has nothing more for you and for us today?
No. He has to.
He should have much more. I appreciate Jeremiah 33. Call on me.
Amen.
And I will show you great and marvelous things which you have not known.
That's right.
Which
Amen.
You knew not.
Amen.
Our God being so rich, don't stay behind. No. Go on. Go on.
Amen.
Even in our human life, you have a human life. You were born with a human life. Huh? Praise the Lord. I'm not born as a dog. If I'm born as a dog, my goodness, then I've never seen a dog going to school. Well, yeah, there's a training school for dogs. But how much can you train a dog? Maybe you do a few tricks. But you have a human life.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Is that good enough?
The Lord.
No. Suppose you never go to school. Never took piano lessons. Can you be an engineer as you are today?
No.
Can you? Oh, but going to school is hard. Let's go to the beach. What would you prefer, go to school every day or go to the beach every day?
To school every day.
Why not? Let's be a beach bum. Be a hippie. No. Just to have a human life is not enough.
Right.
But you have to realize that this life is very capable of acquiring a lot of skills, a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It can be very useful. It can build up a nation. Mm-hmm. It's useful for a society. Can build up a wonderful family life. But just to have a human life doesn't make you automatically like that. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's why you had to go to school. How many years?
12 years, at least.
Wow, at least. No, more than 12 years, right?
16. More than 12 years.
At least 16.
At least 16. Then if you want a master or a MPA, two more years, 18. Then you want to go on at least 20 years. Oh, my goodness.
Do you need that?
Well, it depends on your vision. Depends on your vision.
Yes.
Now, spiritually, what is our vision?
Oh, Lord.
Is it enough that you have the life of Christ in you? Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm born again in the Spirit. I'm alive. Oh, I have life now in my spirit. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. I congratulate myself. You don't read the Bible. You don't pray every day. You don't fellowship. You don't try to see what is God's purpose, what is God's plan. You don't read the Word of God to see what kind of a life the Lord expects us to have. Mm. What kind of a testimony we should have.
Amen.
In this world.
Yes.
If we don't have this kind of a desire to know and to learn. One verse in Ephesians chapter 4 that really always touched me so much is, you have not so learned
Christ.
You have to learn.
Yeah.
Don't think you have a spiritual life. You don't need to learn. Well, there are so many Christians today. Where are they? What are they doing? What is their vision? What do they do? Some are Catholics and just there, kneeling down, praying to Mary, to Saint Christopher, to praying to so many things and people. And you think those statues can hear them? You know, is it Mary can hear them? You think Peter can hear him? You think Saint Paul could hear him? You think the dead Pope could hear him?
Definitely not.
So how come they don't know? Why they don't know?
Because they don't come to this living word. The word is written here to enlighten our mind.
Amen.
To show us, because we need to know with your soul, with your mind, you need to know.
Amen.
Otherwise you'll be deceived by the devil. Right. So, even an unbeliever with a proper family life, you can realize when you see them, they have a high standard of living. Proper human being. I have seen Christians born again with a spirit within them, but live a terrible life. Why? Because our outer man depends on the upbringing. Depends on the upbringing. Mm. Depends on the culture. If you're living in the northern forest in the Philippines, the Pygmies, have you ever seen one?
No.
No. You'll be quite different than you. I'm not looking down on them. But what I'm saying is because of their whole culture and upbringing. Yeah. And some people think a shrinking head is good. Let's shrink your head. So, it depends on our upbringing. So, the Bible not only tells us that Christ is in us, Bible also gives us very, very specific instructions on how we as Christians should behave in the house of the living God.
Amen.
Should be the living testimony of Christ. Should glorify Christ even in our body, Paul said. Now, the Lord's intention is to sanctify our whole being, our spirit, our soul, and our body.
That's right.
So if you read the Bible touches every area of our life.
Amen.
Even family life. Amen. Even husbands and wives. Right. So, I hope with this introduction, with this background, we can come to the Word today. Right, and I hope that all of our young people, as well as we, the older ones, will pay attention to it. Firstly, let us read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which everybody knows very well. I beseech you, therefore, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You desire not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order to know that, you need to have a renewed mind. If my mind is not renewed, I don't care. I live the way I want to live. Don't bother me, right? That is the way I think. So that means my mind is not being renewed. So here it says, as Christians, do not be conformed to this world. We Christians should be different from this world. Should be different. If we are not different, then people cannot see if they look at us and they say, hey, you and I, we're about the same. Why should I believe in your God? Why don't you come my way? If the church life here is no different than any Christian meetings outside any denominations, then if I come here and I say, hey, we are just the same, so why should I come here? No difference. People cannot tell the difference. So we Christians should realize that the Bible has this aspect to tell us. Because just to have the Spirit within you, if our mind is dull and our heart is a little bit hardened, then the Spirit can tell you, hey, don't do that. You won't hear it. Even if you hear it, you will not listen. And you will not obey. You say, sorry, Lord. That's the way I am. I like to do it. So you just go ahead and do it. But to show you, why did Paul say this? Did Paul just get it from inspiration to write, be not conformed to this world? No, because the whole Old Testament in Deuteronomy, for example, even in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, and even the prophets, tells you, do not take the way of the nations. Do not follow what the nations are doing. We, as God's people, as God's nation, we should not take the way of the nations. Now, somebody read Leviticus chapter 18, verse 3 to us. Yeah, just read it to us quickly as we're running out of time. Yes, please. Yeah, chapter 18, verse 3. I'm sorry. Chapter 18, verse 3. Yes.
According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwell, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do.
You shall not do. You shall not do.
Right.
God told them, hey, get rid of them, because God knows that they are going to be influenced by them if those nations are still there.
Right.
But the people of Israel didn't listen. So pretty soon, they became like what those nations are doing, and they even did worse than they.
Oh,
and don't think you will not be influenced. No, no. But the Lord knew very well that His holy nation will become unholy and even unholier than those nations. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9.
When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations.
You shall not what?
Learn.
Don't learn from them.
Yes.
The abomination or detestable ways of the nations you should not follow. You know, the nations are doing a lot of crazy things today, which you learn especially from Hollywood. Los Angeles, Southern California is entertainment capital of the nation. The world even. We call them stars, but they are fallen stars. We should not call them stars, we should call them fallen stars.
Yes.
Because they are so fallen.
Yeah.
How many marriages? Indecent, immoral. What do they teach people in this world to do? They glorified immorality. Don't you think people will be influenced, especially our young people, in this generation? What do you think those rock music? What do you think those young stars taking drugs and doing all kinds of crazy things?
Yeah, that's right.
You want to learn that? You cannot learn that. You cannot be influenced by that. Right? They are detestable ways. And applied to today's world and today's idols, this is different. They even call the stars idols.
Yeah.
What? American idols, right? You want to follow one of those American idols?
Oh,
it'll be terrible. And it becomes an entertainment. People just laugh at it, and unconsciously you're receiving something.
Right.
Remember, what you see, what you hear, gradually, it may not be overnight, but gradually it changes you. Changes you. So we, as God's holy nation, we should take care not to be influenced by that. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. I'm just taking a few of the many verses that will show you the same way. Do not take the ways of the nations.
Amen.
No, definitely not. So Paul knew that. Paul is an expert of the Old Testament scriptures.
Right.
Don't think he just learned all from the Lord. Lord, tell him, tell the saints, be not conformed to this world. No, Paul knew very well what is in God's heart, that God's people has to be a holy nation.
Yeah.
And Peter knew too. That's why he wrote Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. You're a holy nation, a special people.
Right.
You're a people of God's possession, and God is a holy God, a righteous God. And so, knowing the scriptures, Paul wrote to the Romans, to the Gentile church, especially to the Gentile church, because they came out of the world.
That's right.
And they have worldly background.
Yeah.
That's what Paul wrote especially. This epistle, be not conformed
Amen.
To this world. You are not a called out ones. The church is the ecclesia, the meetings, the congregation of the called out ones. We are
Amen.
Called out of this world. If we are called out of this world,
how can we still be part of this world?
Oh, Lord.
The Lord says, my world, I am not of this world. I am from the heavens. You are from the earth. You are earthly. Right? So Paul, knowing the scriptures, wrote, be not conformed to this world.
Amen.
Don't take this word lightly. If it is not important, Paul would not have said it. Be not conformed, but be transformed.
Amen.
Change.
Yes.
If we Christians do not change year after year, we are still living and dressing and behaving and doing things exactly like the people in the world.
Oh, Lord.
What do you think the Lord will think? What do you think the Holy Spirit indwelling you will feel? Will he not be grieved?
Definitely.
Oh, he definitely will be grieved. Right. That you may prove,
amen,
what is good,
yes,
what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God. You have to prove it. That means you have to know it well. You have to see what it's all about.
Amen.
Not just to know it a little bit, but you have to prove it.
Yes.
To test it. You have to know exactly what the Lord wants.
Amen.
You have to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is not good, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable to God. We need to know this. Everyone has that responsibility to know. Because if you don't know, then you'll be doing a lot of things you shouldn't be doing. As a son of God, as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ. Christ indwelling in you. And so, may the Lord show us this aspect of the Word of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, let us read Ephesians chapter 4 briefly together. We all know these verses. Now, beginning in verse 17, this I say therefore, and he strengthened it by saying, and testify in the Lord. You know, Paul will not add this word and testify in the Lord, meaning to say this is from God. This word is from the Lord.
Amen.
Paul wants to make the saints realize what I'm writing to you is not out of my head. I'm testifying, right, in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, who, being past feelings, they have no more feelings, are numb, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. You must be different.
Amen.
If indeed you have been taught by him, my goodness, is the Lord teaching you? How is he teaching you? In you and in the Word.
That's right. Amen.
Because if your mind is darkened and not enlightened, your heart will be hardened. Remember, the mind is a part of the heart. And it is one of the main parts of the heart. So if you shut down your mind, no more, just like you close all your windows in your house, and no light can come in. So you wouldn't know what's going to happen to your heart. And you will not know what you're going to do in your heart. I mean, in your house. If you close all the windows.
Suppose we close everything, including the light here. We're not going to see each other. I wouldn't even know who's sitting next to me. So, don't say, oh, this is too deep. No, this is not deep. This is ABC. What I'm sharing this is the ABCD of our Christian life.
Amen.
Right. So, if our mind is not enlightened and we don't read the word and let the word shine upon us, to read with an open heart, with an obedient heart, and say, Lord, show me.
Oh, Lord.
Because the word of God is not just a doctrine, it's for you to really follow. So do not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, even alienated from the life of God. Yes, you say ye have life. All Christians have life of God within them, but they are still cut off. There is an insulation there. What is the insulation? A darkened mind and a hardened heart is like rubber. And for the electricity, it insulates. So if your heart is hardened and your mind is darkened, you're insulated, not alienated here. Yes, alienated, but for us, it's insulated from the life of God, so you don't feel anything. How come the Lord is telling you, he doesn't tell me? I don't know why he doesn't tell you. I don't know. It depends on your heart. If your heart is hardened, you don't hear anything. But if your heart is soft and you turn to the Lord all the time and you come to the Word and let the Word of God enlighten you, don't look at other people. You look at the Word. Let the Spirit and the Word speak to you.
Yes.
And this is how the Spirit is going to teach you. The anointing is going to teach you. Without the Word, it is not possible. We really need the Word. So now you can really see in all of these verses how necessary it is that we as Christians should not be conformed to this world.
Amen.
Now let's go quickly. It's 5-10 more minutes. What the church with all the saints is to God. What is the church to God? We have been reading many times 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, a royal priesthood, a people of God's special possession. You think God wants to possess the church just like any other nations? If we, the church, is just like any other nation, he might as well pick other nations as well and let the other nations be part of it. How about that? Because it's the same anyway, not much different. The word of God says we are a holy nation, and to keep on being a holy nation, the condition, according to Exodus chapter 19, is, hey, you do according to what my commandment says. If you don't do according to what my word tells you, how can you be a holy nation? At the end, did Israel become a holy nation? Or remain a holy nation? No, not at all. God has to destroy it and let it be captive in Babylon. And finally even destroy the nation. Because what kind of nation God wants to have is a holy nation. A nation that is comparable to his nature. That corresponds to his holy nature. This is what we as God's people, as a church, should be. Don't think it's just having a good meeting and then go home, that's good enough. No.
No. In your daily living, in your daily walk, in our family life, even if you're by yourself. That's a real test, if you're by yourself. Whether we really have seen something and something has been wrought into us, into our being or not. Right. So it says here in Titus 2:14, let us read Titus chapter 2, verse 14. All these verses are actually very important to us. The Lord gave himself for us that he might redeem us from hell. Huh? From eternal damnation. Not only, don't say no, not only. But here it says what? What? Again? From?
Every lawless deed.
Are you sure? What are you redeemed from? Ah. Sarah, what are you redeemed from?
Every lawless deed.
My goodness, how many lawless deeds are we still performing? Are you redeemed? From what? From some lawless deeds? Just some. That means you are not fully redeemed. The word of God says how many?
Every.
Every? Are you all sure? My version is the same as yours? We all have the same version, right? From every lawless deed. And what?
Purify.
And purify us from... For himself, and purify for himself his own special people. My goodness, this is why you're redeemed. To be purified. My goodness. Do we have that sense? Do we have that realization, that consciousness of what God desires to have? Because if we don't, then we don't care for it. If we're not pure, we say, sorry, Lord. You know, this time when I was up in Cupertino, I was sharing about the sin and trespass offering. Of all the five offerings, three have the sweet aroma to God, but two didn't. The sin and the trespass offerings offered to God did not go up to him as sweet-smelling aroma. Because these two offerings are judgment for our sins. That's why on the cross the Lord says, my God, why did you forsake me? Because at that very moment, God judged all of us in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was judgment and there was no sweet aroma going up to him. So if you, in your Christian life, you don't know how to enjoy the first three offerings. You only enjoy the last two offerings. Oh, forgive me. Oh, thank you for your precious blood. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I confess. Sorry, Lord. And I apologize, Lord. Oh, cleanse me again. Oh, forgive me, Lord. And Lord, I confess. Oh, praise the Lord. Goodbye, Lord. And maybe you're cleansed, you're forgiven, but God doesn't have anything. No enjoyment, no sweet aroma. If you never learn to enjoy Christ as your burned offering, as your meal offering, then your peace offering, there's no sweet aroma for God to enjoy in the heaven. God, the Father sitting there. There's no sweet aroma coming out from my people there, down there in the planet Earth. Lord Jesus, what do you think our Father would think? So, here, he redeemed us from every lawless deed and purify for himself, it's for himself,
his own special people, zealous for good works. Praise the Lord. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. My, this is a serious word. This is a serious word. That's why I'm saying, flip the coin and you can see the other side. Because if you don't see the other practical side of what the Lord really expects from us, and you don't read it, you have no feeling. Your past feeling, or you're insulated from such feeling because you are not fed with such healthy words. And we need that practically in our daily living. Right. Of course, Ephesians 5:25-27, we all know that. Right. By the washing of the water in the word, the Lord wants to have a glorious church, holy, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. This is the kind of the church that the Lord wants from his people. This is very important for us to see. And number two, to be holy and completely sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. Don't think your body is not important. If it's not important, why did Paul in chapter 12 says you have to present your spirit as a living sacrifice? No. Your soul as a living sacrifice? No. What?
Your body.
Your body. Why? Because it is most practical. Because it is very practical. You can say, oh, my spirit loves the Lord, but my body just like to stay in the beach and enjoy the sun. If your body is just watching and watching your screen there, what do you think the spirit will say? Your spirit will go to sleep. While you're watching, the spirit is asleep. Otherwise, what's the Spirit going to do? Watch with you. So, to be holy and completely, holy means completely, sanctified. Let us read again to have a good impression of the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, we always use this word to prove that there is spirit, soul, and body, but this word is not for proving that there is spirit, soul, and body. But the point, the emphasis, is that your whole being will be sanctified. But we never emphasize, or you don't emphasize, the word sanctified. You emphasize, you see, that we have three parts. And what is the most important part? Is that what it says there? Oh, the soul?
And one more.
What else?
Spirit, soul, and body.
You mean to say the body doesn't need to be sanctified?
No, it does.
Just the spirit? No. Well, we always tell people your spirit is the most important part. Your soul, forget about it. You can't change it. And your body, just do anything you like. But what is the emphasis of this verse? The emphasis of this verse. Verse 22 says, abstain from some form of evil. From most form of evil. From a few forms. As many as you can. As many as you like. What does it say?
Every.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Yes, otherwise the word is deceiving you. Don't say, oh, brother, it's so hard. You need to grow 10 more years. And meanwhile, you can just succumb to every form of evil.
Don't worry, brother. I sympathize with you because I'm the same. If I tell people to do that, that means I sympathize with myself. Oh, don't worry, brother, don't worry. Paul didn't say don't worry. Don't worry if you succumb to some form of evil. Don't worry, brother. Don't worry. You will grow and you will be strengthened. The Lord strengthens you. Paul didn't say that. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, be preserved blameless. Spirit and soul be preserved blameless. And there's another end. Really? Did I miss it? But the spirit is the most important. Oh, the spirit and soul and soul. Because the Lord did say, oh, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, so the soul is important. The body is going to die anyway, disintegrate, and then become dust. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be hitting you. So, your body is not important, it's just dust. What is the mystery of godliness? God manifested in the soul. God manifested in your speech. What?
In the flesh.
How can God manifest in the flesh? You believe it? It's a mystery. Exactly, it's a mystery. The mystery of godliness. How are people going to see that you are a Christian if you are like them outwardly? How are they going to know? They smoke, you smoke. They play, you play. They gamble, you gamble. They cheat, you cheat. Yeah. You dress the way they dress. No, so what's the difference? How is God going to be manifested in the flesh when you're lying down on the beach enjoying the sunshine? Oh, that's God manifest in the flesh here of Timo. How about that? No. No. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, remember, and body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it with your cooperation. If you don't let him, how can he do it? He will do it, meaning to say he will help you achieve it. Because he's that God of peace who will sanctify you. But don't say, okay, he's going to sanctify me and I just live the way I want to live. No, he's not going to do it like that. But you have to believe that he will do it in you. But if you keep on saying, no, he can't do it, I can't make it, it's not possible. If you believe that, then how is God going to help you? But if the word says he will do it, you should say, amen. God, do it in me.
Amen.
This is the way we should react to the word of God. Praise the Lord. So we need to learn to read this side of the coin. Now, let's go to point three and stop because I don't have time. I thought... It's going to take me just one meeting to finish this. Point number three. Yeah, when I made this, I thought I made it so short, I'm going to finish it. Lord Jesus. To magnify and glorify God and Christ. Amen. Where?
In our body.
Are you sure? What did Paul say? Philippians chapter 1. Let's read. Just quickly, and then we stop. And if I have a chance, I'll continue. Maybe next Friday. Amen. What does it say here, 20 and 21? According to my
expectation
and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my spirit, in my soul, in my body. Because if it's just in your spirit, nobody can see it. If it's just in your heart, how can I know what is in your heart? But if you're a person not filled with Christ, you said you're full of joy. It's the joy, joy, joy that makes me want to shout, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's the joy, joy, joy that makes me want to shout, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hey, am I magnifying Christ in my body?
Expressing your sadness in your heart.
You think so? How would you like to hear such a song in the church life?
With more joy.
Huh? With more joy. What I'm just doing with my voice. Even with your voice, people can see, sense you don't have joy. Because the voice is part of your body, not part of you, just part of your soul. Oh, no, you need a vocal cord. And you need a facial expression. You cannot sing joy, joy, joy. It's the joy, joy, joy. Can you sing like that? It's a joy, joy, joy. You should use your facial muscles and smile and be happy. Praise the Lord. How can I know you're happy? By looking at your face, I know you're happy. You know, your face tells me everything.
Right.
So what did Paul say? What did he say? That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. You know, when Paul was sitting in prison, his spirit has no problem because Christ dwells there. But his soul and his body, if you're sitting in prison there, if you are, oh, the police was there, handcuffed you, put you in prison, are you going to be happy? Can people see that you're smiling, you're happy? Oh, praise the Lord, you're in prison. Hallelujah, I'm in prison. But Paul, when he was in prison, he was singing, he was joyful, he was praising the Lord, he was happy. He magnified Christ through his body so that all those prison keepers can see, what kind of prison is this? The first prisoner that I saw that was happy to sit in prison. What makes him happy? Do you think there is a person in this world that's happy to be in prison? And those prisons at that time, they didn't have any human rights, okay? No TV, no nice beds, and no food, no drink, no toilet. There, oh my goodness, today, if I'm a prisoner, I demand to have a toilet in my prison. And a TV. In those days, nothing. It's just a hole there. I even doubt there is a window. Are you going to be happy singing there, praising the Lord? You think you will? Praise the Lord. It's possible. Not just for Paul, but for his companion as well. Right.
So Paul's desire is to magnify Christ in a way that people can see.
Amen.
As a living testimony, people can see, man, this person is different. What makes this person so different? How come Paul can sing there?
Eventually, many of these prison keepers received the Lord in Rome.
And even one time, the prison master received the Lord after an earthquake there when they were singing. There was an earthquake. And they were surprised that everybody escaped. These two didn't.
So here, we can really see, to magnify the Lord, we should magnify Him in our body. That means practically that people can see. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. We continue the next 3 points sometime. But you can read the verses. I didn't put down all the verses, but just representatively some verses. But it's good enough, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's have some prayer.
Amen.